Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Acts 28 Pal Talk Room. God bless each and every one of you. Remember, it's our objective in here to inspire you to search and see if these things are so. In our room, we focus a great deal on all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we thank God that we all believe that. However, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, prior to Paul saying that all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, Paul also wrote that we must rightly divide the word of truth. What does it mean to rightly divide it? Well, people say that we have to correctly handle it. Well, I believe everyone thinks that they are correctly handling the Bible. But rightly divide means what it says. We must separate things that are different. This does not mean that we throw away anything, for all Scripture is for us. But not all the Scripture is about us. All of us in this room will acknowledge that God gave commands to Israel. He gave promises to Abraham. He gave a promise to King David. And these are specific promises to specific families or children of God. What has he promised you and me today in 2008? I turn to the book of Romans and just show you a verse, two verses out of that passage. Now, first of all, we know, as Peter said in Acts chapter 4, that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby anybody can be saved. Christ Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and praise God for that. However, it is important that we recognize that the Lord Jesus sent the 12 apostles in Matthew chapter 10 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, and also in the book of Matthew, speaking to the Syrophoenician woman, that he was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in Romans 15 verse 8, the Lord says, Paul writes that Jesus Christ has become a minister of the circumcision. Christ's ministry was to and about Israel. Now, in Romans chapter 15, coming down the chapter and finding in verse 16, Paul saying this. Paul says, look, I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And you and I today are Gentiles. Predominantly Gentiles. There are some Jews that are saved. Praise God for that. But most of God's ministry today is out among the Gentiles. Therefore, Paul is very, very important to us. He didn't die for us, but he is important. Now, Colossians is a letter of Paul. Ah, it is about you and me today. This is why, as we begin this little examination of Colossians over the next few weeks, we are in a letter that is written to us today. Now you say, oh, well, what about all of Paul's letters? Well, I want to share with you just a little something to consider. Paul was saved, as you know, recorded in Acts chapter 9. And he was ministering in Damascus and Jerusalem. And of course, he then went back to Tarsus. He went back to Antioch. Barnabas picked him up. And then Paul takes center stage in the book of Acts. And he's very, very active. And yes, in the Acts period, some Gentiles are being saved to provoke Israel to jealousy. But in Acts 26:22, the Apostle Paul tells us that in the Acts period, he was saying no other things than those which Moses and the prophets said was going to happen. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? Because when we read Colossians, we notice that Colossians is not about the Old Testament or prophecy. I want to show you that in Colossians. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says this, starting from about verse 24. Colossians 1:24. I rejoice in my sufferings for you, says Paul, and I fill up the things lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh on behalf of his body, which is the church. Ah, you and I belong to the church, which is his body. You know, of course, that Israel is a church, correct? Israel is a church, the church Israel. But we belong to the church, which is his body. So Christ was a minister of the church Israel. But Paul is a minister of the church, which is his body. Now, he said, I became a minister according to the administration of God given to me for you. Oh, I see. Something was given to Paul for us Gentiles. And it's to complete the word of God, not to fill it up. That's what the word fulfill means there, to fill it up. Now, do you know a lot of Christians have a Bible, but they don't understand this dispensation or administration. Don't be frightened by the word dispensation. It's as much a Bible word as blood, forgiveness, cross, Christ dying for sins. And yet, if you mention dispensation to Christians, some of them get very, very nervous. But they're all dispensationalists, because do you know what? All Christians know that there are instructions in the Bible which have nothing to do with them. That makes them a dispensationalist. And it's a good word, isn't it? All right. This dispensation has been hidden away from ages and generations. Now, when Paul was in the book of Acts, he said, oh, I am saying no other things than Moses and the prophets said was going to happen. But when he's writing Colossians and a few other letters that we're going to look at, he's now talking about something which was never revealed before. Now, that can't be Christ dying for sins, can it? Because we have Christ dying for sins in type and shadow. In the Old Testament, Israel had to bring, or Israel brought, blood offerings for acceptance, reconciliation, forgiveness, atonement. All what Christ did on the cross was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. So what is this dispensation that was never revealed before? Ah, that's the purpose of this room, to show Christians that there's something special for us, given to us in 2008 by the Apostle Paul after the book of Acts, not before. So, we are studying a book which is exactly about this present administration. So isn't it good we're looking at Colossians? Now then, what we need to do in this introduction is to acknowledge that Colossians is writing about a dispensation given to Paul after Acts closed. Because in Acts, he was only preaching the Old Testament. Now he's preaching or teaching something that was hidden away from those previous ages. So, praise God, we're looking at an epistle which is essential. You need a chart. So, sweet DC, might contact you, a beautiful catharsis, whoever is in the room that doesn't have this chart, you're going to need a chart. And it's on a link which is up there. I tell you what, someone might need to copy this link for me. Ray, You're a good man. Can you copy this link and just post it into the room occasionally, please? See it there? That link there. There's a chart there called the prison epistle. There's a chart there called the Prison Epistles. You need to look at it for this lesson, and we're about to go to that chart. Now, what happened with the Apostle Paul was during the Acts period, he was going into the Jewish synagogues and proclaiming to the Jew first about Christ as the Messiah. Well, that's a tautology, about Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. Now, at the end of the book of Acts, Paul was in his hired house in Rome. He was a prisoner in Rome. And from that prison, he wrote a number of letters. You'll see in our reading of Colossians chapter 1 that he was suffering. He was suffering. And so we have letters from prison that are associated with this ministry of Paul. And what we have are seven letters written after the close of the book of the Acts. Seven letters. Now, these seven letters are not all prison epistles. So we're just making a differentiation here. But here are the letters. There's Ephesians. Now, if I do some typos, I know you will forgive me. There's Philippians. There is Colossians, the letter we're looking at tonight. There is 1 and 2, Timothy. And there's Titus and Philemon. Now, out of those epistles, the prison epistles are Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, Colossians and 2 Timothy. And the chart which you have in front of you tonight, I hope you can see it, are the prison letters of Paul. And we have put them together, in a little structure, because what this structure does is give the essential elements of each one and puts it in an order, which by diligent study we feel confident is represented accurately on this chart. Now, if you can look at the chart with me, you will see that Ephesians is marked letter A. If you want the chart, we can send you a copy through PalTalk, so please don't proceed if you don't have a copy. Now then, thank you, Gray. Thank you, Ray. Very helpful. Click on Prison Epistle Structure. It's on that page. Excellent. Welcome, Carolyn. You need a chart. Post it again for her, Ray. or someone could send her the file. Now, do you see that Ephesians has, as a subheading, seated together? Now, I'm going to go to Ephesians and show you these key things. In Ephesians chapter 2, look, we have been raised up and seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. No one in the Old Testament or in the Gospels or in the book of Acts was told that they were raised and seated in Christ in the heavenlies. That's something different. And that's the great hope as found in the letter to the Ephesians. Now, in the letter to the Ephesians, to the right, you'll see such things as a prayer. You'll see the dispensation, the mystery. You'll see Christ's ascent and Christ the head. You'll see the church, which is his body. You'll see the word fullness on your chart. Can you see it on your chart? Principalities and powers. And then you have instructions to the church and the word aware. Ephesians is broken into 6 chapters by man. Remember, chapter breaks do not occur in the original documents. Chapter breaks are helpful but they're also a problem. Now, the next letter that we have is Philippians. And in Philippians, it's not talking about being seated together. It talks about the prize. Wow, those of you who wish to stay, you need a chart, and we'll post you a link where you can download a chart called the Prison Epistles. Now, Philippians, Great Greens, good to see you, is about the prize. The prize of the high calling. Philippians is about winning Christ, not being saved, but winning. There's a prize in view, running a race. In Philippians, there's suffering things that for the sake of winning Christ. There's a prize to be won. There's a special resurrection. You mean a special resurrection? Yes. Not the resurrection of 1 Corinthians 15, a completely different resurrection. Wow. And do you know what? There's a Bible study principle in Philippians, and I want to show it to you. Here is Paul's prayer for his friends. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in full knowledge and in all perception, in order that you may distinguish between things that differ. You see, friends, as Christians, we must not smulch all of the Bible together. God tells us not to do that. If the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, "The meek shall inherit the earth," that's what he meant, and he meant what he said. But the Lord isn't speaking to you. He's speaking to the Israelites, and they will inherit the earth if they're meek. You and I, today, we have an inheritance in the heavenly places. Can you see different things in the New Testament? This doesn't mean just leave the Old Testament with the Jews and the New Testament to Christians. It means much more than that. Now then, in this epistle, oh, look out. There are those who are walking whose God is their belly, who mind earthly things. They are enemies not of the gospel. They're enemies of the cross. And the cross is a symbol of enduring and running a race. If any man wants to follow me, take up his cross. And these people are enemies. They don't want other Christians to take up the cross and walk. This is a practical letter. This is Philippians part 2, a prison epistle written after the book of Acts. Very important letter for you and me today. These people, their God was their belly. Oh, that's interesting. In Colossians, touch not, taste not. Why do you handle these things, says Paul? These enemies, they're walking. Notice, they're walking in verse 18. They're Christians, but they're enemies because their God is their belly. And they're telling you to do and to touch and to observe and it goes on and on, doesn't it? I warn you about a group today called the Messianics. This is a group. They want you to start calling God Yahweh. They want you to start observing all the feast days and absolutely everything else. Because why? They don't know the ministry given to us through Paul for today. It's unbelievable the amount of fleshly commands and instructions that exist in the Christian community. Why? Because they do not test things that are different. Now, if Paul tells us to test things that are different, do you see? Then it's important because there is a prize in view. The Bible study rules are not an option if we want the prize. You go to a Christian community, they will say, stay away from that Acts 28 room. Those people in there, they're hyper-dispensationalists. Well, I tell you what, friends, we're sharing about a prize and a crown in view. Oh, you'll find about the crown at the bottom of your chart in 2 Timothy. Do you see how B, Philippians, and B, 2 Timothy fit together? Well, that's all about Philippians. Now, Philemon is a fabulous little epistle. Philemon is a prison epistle. Ephesians, you're going to need a chart, friend. Carolyn, did you get your chart? You need to go to this link and look on our prison epistle structure. It's PDF and download it, please. We're studying that chart together, and it's important that you have it. Now, Philemon is about a runaway slave. And you say, what's this got to do with me today? Well, do you remember in the Old Testament that the Gentiles in Genesis chapters 10 and 11, the nations, they cast off God. They became vain in their own imaginations. They built a tower, and on the top of it were the signs of the zodiac. And they started worshipping the stars and four-footed beasts. You can read about it in Romans chapter 1. So God cast them off. You see, you and I belong to the nations. The children of Israel is the nation. And I have to type this in. The nation equals Israel. The nations equals Gentiles. And that's the classification. Oh, a nice typo there. That's the classification. And you and I are Gentiles. That's why Paul is so important. Now, just as Onesiphorus had run away and he was totally useless, unprofitable, his name means profitable, by the way, so in the past, we Gentiles were unprofitable. But now in Christ, we had been drawn back, reconciled to God in the new dispensation, just as Onesiphorus had been got reconciled back to Philemon. Paul says, receive him as myself. And you and I, who are Gentiles, in Christ today, in this dispensation, we have been received back to the Father in Christ. Praise God for that, friends. And what does Paul say to Philemon, or Philemon, that's how I say his name. He said, look, if he's committed any wrongs, put it to my account. That's Philemon 1:18. If there's any debt, yep, charge it to me. Well, praise God for that. Because you see, friends, as Gentiles, there was a double problem. My first problem as a Gentile was that I was a descendant. I am a descendant of Adam, and I'm under the penalty of sin and death. That's my first problem. My second problem is that I am a Gentile that God had cast away. Do you see? But in this present dispensation for today, we Gentiles have been brought back like the runaway slave. Philemon is essential. It's a wonderful little life story about what God has done for us cast off Gentiles today. In this present dispensation. Now, on your chart, we come to Colossians. And God bless you for being patient, everybody. This is an introduction. Now, in Colossians, like Ephesians, Paul also talks about the dispensation of the grace of God. In Colossians, Paul also talks about being seated with Christ in the above heavens. Here it is, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. But instead of it being early in the epistle, It's in the middle of it in Colossians. Why is that so? Now, in Colossians, you'll notice that there's a prayer, there's Christ's ascent and his headship, there's the church, which is his body, and there's fullness. There's principalities and powers, and there's instructions to the church, but look at the difference. Colossians, that central section we read, is about beware. Ah, yes. You know, friends, I'd like to pause and just mention something about the enemy called Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Did you know that he cannot originate anything? God speaks, Satan duplicates. God reveals a plan, Satan tries to throw a spoke in the wheels. And Ephesians reveals the present dispensation, and immediately Satan and his minions, his puppets, call an urgent council of war. How are we going to confuse the Christians? How are we going to make a total mess of this? Because remember, I want to show you something even in Ephesians. The same thing. Remember, this was hidden in God. Paul says about this present dispensation, do you see? He said, look, about this present dispensation, it's unsearchable. See the word unsearchable in verse 8? Something that was hidden in God. Satan did not know about this. But as soon as he heard about it, he decided, how can we make this totally obscure? How can we hide this from Christians? And do you know what, friends? I want to tell you something by showing you something from 2 Timothy. Ephesians and Colossians are in Asia, right? What was called Asia back then. And Paul says this, this you know, that all those, by the time 2 Timothy was written, down there at the bottom of your chart, the Ephesians and the Colossians had turned away from Paul. You say, well, who cares? Friends, if Christ sent Paul to us and we don't listen to Paul and we turn away from him, we're turning away from Christ. If you want to listen to Christ, don't turn to Matthew. Because in Matthew, Christ is talking to the Israelites. The rich young ruler said, what shall I do to be saved? If you want to enter into life, the Lord says to him, keep the commandments. Try preaching that as a gospel today. No, friends. If we want to listen to Christ, we must listen to Paul. And look how effective Satan and his team were. The Ephesians and the Colossians had turned away. And 2 Timothy was written after Colossians. And what's the big word in Colossians? Beware! Watch out! The enemy is at work, corrupting the message. Do you know, when Paul wrote 2 Timothy, Christians were dying at the stake because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. They were not turning away from Christ. They were turning away from Paul. And yet they were prepared to die because of their faith in Christ. And before very long, instead of Christians knowing about the dispensation that was given to us today through Paul, we started building tabernacles, we threw in an altar, we invented some rich clothing for priests, and we started to do things that were Jewish. Why did that happen? Because we turned away from Paul. And they started preaching, oh, if you want to be really saved, you better go off and do this as well. And if you want to be saved, you better go off and do this as well. And they started adding things. Do you know, friends, that the Reformation came how many years? What? 1,500 years after the New Testament era, 1,500 years, suddenly Christians finally got back to righteousness by faith through grace. What happened for 1,500 years? Why was it called the Age of Darkness? It was called the Age of Darkness, friends, because they turned away from Christ by turning away from Paul. And the religious Pharisaical system had Christians under their thumb. And what was the key to the Reformation? What was the key to the Reformation? It wasn't Matthew. What was the key to the Reformation? It wasn't Mark. What was the key to the Reformation? It wasn't Luke. What was the key to the Reformation? It wasn't John. What was the key to the Reformation? It wasn't the book of Acts. What was the key to the Reformation?
P-A-U-L.
Finally, after 1,500 years, give or take a few centuries, someone turned back to Paul. These prison epistles, friends, are essential. We must understand what they're about. And the great theme of Colossians is that we should beware about things that are religious. And I'm going to hang my hat on a few things that are very popular in the Christian church, friends, before this series is over. Because you and I want to walk worthy of the calling in Colossians. Well, finally, we've had a look at Colossians, and let's now look at 2 Timothy. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You see? I have kept the faith. That does not mean he's kept on believing. Faith isn't a verb, it's a noun. He's kept the doctrine that was given to him. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. Do you know what the appearing is? Well, friends, let me tell you. The appearing isn't 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Mercy me. There's so much to discover, isn't there? And how will we discover what's for us today? By looking at Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, Colossians, and 2 Timothy, prison epistles. To bring this introductory lesson to a close, I want to point out that 2 Timothy was written in Paul's second imprisonment. Paul was in prison in Rome, and we believe he was released. Lysias, I think it was, said, I think it's unreasonable to send a prisoner to Caesar and we don't have a charge to lay against him. So you can believe that Paul was in prison for 2 years. His case was finally heard by Caesar, possibly Augustus, I don't know. But Paul was released. And 2 Timothy, Paul was back in prison a second time with little chance of being released. Now, just as Philippians is about a crown, a prize, Timothy, 2 Timothy, is about a crown. And it's in 2 Timothy, just like Philippians, that we receive the Bible study rule. The Bible study rule. And I want to show it to you. There it is there. We must rightly divide. And friends, if we don't know what right division is tonight, don't be ashamed to say, I don't know what it is or how to apply it. Praise God if you're honest. But if we want this crown, if we want the prize, if we want to win Christ, then we need to know these Bible study principles. One last thing out of this context. Did you know that in Colossians, remember when we were in Colossians, Paul was warning everybody. He was warning them about teachers whose God was their belly, teaching them, don't do this, don't do that, do this, all these religious things that had a show of false humility, worshipping of angels. Don't think that doesn't exist in the Christian church, let me tell you. And he said, look, tell them to not to strive to words of no profit. Oh, you see, what does words of no profit mean? Well, I'm going to make a suggestion. Did you know that Satan tempted Christ with the Bible? Oh, you mean words of no profit could be actually the Bible? If it's not rightly divided, yes, it could be. When I was traveling through Ecuador, there was a big sign up on the side of the highway. I was traveling through the avenue of volcanoes. I've forgotten their names now. Chimborosa. There were some fabulous volcanoes down there. And there was a big sign up, put up by a church, quoting Exodus. And you know what it says? Thou shalt remember to keep the Sabbath day holy to the Lord. And they had this huge picture of Christ pointing an accusing finger at the people driving by. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Exodus has nothing to do with the poor old Ecuadorians. And it has nothing to do with me today. What did Paul say in Colossians? Sabbath days. They're not to be observed. And that was somebody using the Old Testament and trying to ram it into today. Does not work. Colossians is about today. Praise God we're starting this little study, right? Now let's have a look at verse 16. These are verses either side of the principle of right division. Words to no profit in verse 14. Profane and vain babblings in verse 16. I wonder where that is. Oh, profane and vain babblings, obviously. They're not in the Christian churches. They would be, down in the pygmies in the Amazon. Well, I've been down there, friends, and I've shot a blowgun. I actually hit the target. They all inaugurated me as a naturalized pygmy because I could blow the blowtorch. I couldn't believe it. I hit the target. I must admit it was only from about 15 feet, and I didn't have a video camera, so you'll just have to take my word for it. I shot the bird. Unbelievable. Does that mean I couldn't survive in the Amazon? Probably not. I'll be dead within 3 days. Anyway, I got sidetracked, didn't I? The profane and vain babblings are all about ungodliness. Do you know we as Christians can be ungodly? You say, no, I can't be ungodly. Yes, we can. And for me to start rigidly observing a Sabbath day, that's ungodliness. Oh, is that what it means? Yes. Look at the next verse. Their word will eat as gangrene. You say, oh no. What? This can't possibly be the Bible. It's the Bible not rightly divided. That's the gangrene. Look at verse 18. It's concerning the truth. Do you see? The words to no profit, the vain babblings and profane babblings, is resurrection. These men were teaching a Bible truth out of time. It was the Bible they were teaching that was a vain babbling and a gangrene. Now, friends, don't get alarmed. But I tell you what, we better know what right division is because it's important. We must rightly divide the word of truth. I don't want to be ashamed, neither do you, friends, Because if I don't rightly divide, guess what? I'm going to be ashamed and I'm not going to be approved. And guess what's in view in these post-Acts epistles? In Philippians, a prize and a crown. And I want the prize and I want the crown, and so do you, don't you? Well, thank you for listening. I've said some strong things, but I want you to be patient and share with me in the coming weeks as we study Colossians, the second of the great letters written by Paul after Israel was set aside, after the book of Acts, and praise God for your patience and kindness by listening so faithfully. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your being and your ways. We thank you, Father, for who you are. And we thank you because your Son came and gave through Paul to us today wonderful promises, a great inheritance that has nothing to do with Abraham, nothing to do with the earth. And Father, how rich are we in your Son. Help everyone in this room tonight to begin to see these wonderful truths regarding the dispensation of the grace of God. Help me, Father, to share it simply and clearly. And may the chart that we hold be the very means of this great adventure of discovery. To the honour of your holy name, to the praise and exaltation of your name, to the exaltation of your Son and the word that you have given us. For we bring this request to you, Father, through him. Amen.